are in listen-only mode.
Good morning from Australia, and this is Leonie Hodson, and our topic today is using Ray's astrology psychology. It's more or less a summary webinar for the work that we have done over the last 2 years. And just greeting our attendees. We have two attendees, and just welcoming you on board. If you think my voice is a little bit husky this morning, you would be right. I've just come back from overseas and we picked up a flu bug on the plane, but however, I'm still here. You've been unmuted. Yvonne, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Yeah, it's good to have
you. I finished reading most of your book that I picked up at the conference, and I used it for my report with Elena. Told her that I quoted all the sources from you.
Oh, that's great. That's super. And Bibi, how are you this morning?
I'm fine, thank you. Hello.
Okay. Yes, hi, yes. And where are you from, located again, just for the webinar?
I'm in Italy.
Italy.
In Milan. Yes.
I was in Milan last week, did some shopping, great shopping, and got some wonderful Italian shoes in Milan. Yes, it would have been nice. We were only there for 2 days, maybe, me and my husband and myself. So anyway, that's it.
Okay.
It would have been nice to catch maybe a future trip.
Yes.
Okay, and so next slide, please, Astrid. And so in this webinar, I'm hoping to draw together some of the work that we have been doing and helping you present, the students present, or work with the material in a way which benefits themselves and can also benefit other people if you choose to work with other people. So in the slide that we have up at the moment, the purpose of incarnation is self-realization. This is the esoteric spiritual purpose to gain self-realization, to realize that we are souls working through bodies, the mind, emotions, physical, and that our higher destiny is spiritual, not physical. And so this realization, of course, we're not born with this until, of course, we're very advanced along the path. When that happens, then we would think that these insights about who we are and what our destiny is on the planet becomes a lot sooner and would probably come in childhood. But we're talking about a very, very advanced level of development, perhaps getting close between the second and the third initiation, which is control of the emotional life and really starting to take control of the whole personality. Most of us would have, and especially for myself, I can really only talk for myself, but that realization, even though I had some sense about a higher destiny, I always had an aspiration for something higher and finer, but because the spiritual organizations that surrounded me when I was very young were Orthodox churches and like some of the hardline fundamentalist churches, I rejected the hardline approach that I was hearing in those churches about how if you didn't follow this church and this teaching that you were going to be rejected by Christ and cast into hell. Now that is the type of spiritual teachings I was receiving right up, I think, until I was about 10 or something. My mother used to send us along to the Apostolic Church, and if anyone knows that name, it's a really hard line, fundamentalist religion. And this was the teaching I was getting. So I made a decision somewhere amongst that teaching that I rejected it and that I must be an atheist because I could not accept the type of judgmental and harmful type of God that was being presented in those churches. So the realization that we are come to as a part of following the esoteric teachings is entirely different, that we are one with universal life, we are one in spirit with all life. This inclusiveness is an intrinsic essential part of the esoteric teachings. This realization for those people like me who weren't born with a clear understanding of self-realization and of our spiritual nature and spiritual destiny, this comes through interacting with other souls. So we're thrown into life, really, and we have to make our way. And so we interact with other souls through our minds, through our bodies. These are our minds, our emotions, our physical body. And by struggling to be soul, that sentence is unfinished, I see. And so success comes through understanding our forces and adapting them so we are successful in material life and relationships and later in our spiritual life. So in our journey, we realize quite quickly, if we are an intelligent, that some of the ways that we are attempting to interact with other people may not be working, and so we modify our behavior so that we are accepted and so that the goals that we are aspiring to, that we reach them. If we're not really developed intellectually, if we still are primarily emotional people, then rationalizing that is much more difficult because the discrimination aspect has not been developed yet, and so that comes later. And so these hard knocks that we receive through life, though, and the karmic results that come back from our bad decisions and the bad things that we do, bad meaning the best that we can do at the time, but may not be the wisest, but that bring us, because they are karmically intrusive into other people's lives and past, bring us some learning lessons back to us. From those type of karmic interactions, we learn gradually to modify our behavior, and it is this type of interaction, going out into life, getting feedback via karma, modifying ourselves so that we navigate our way more intelligently. This eventually brings us to the spiritual path and to greater insight about ourselves. And so are there any questions just about this first point, or any thing that BL or Astrid, you would like to add?
Leonie?
Okay. Yes?
I think you bring up a very good point, and it's something that was mentioned at the last webinar, that a student had a question about that, about someone that all other indications in their chart indicated that they were a very spiritual person, an advanced aspirant, or possibly even a disciple, yet they were an agnostic, you know, and it was, well, if you don't really believe in God, how can you say you're spiritual? But I think you did a very good job of explaining that, you know, that's one of the whole points we have to go through, is you have to reach that epiphany that it's not my way or the highway for religion. It's the inclusiveness and the treating all people with the same respect, and no matter what their faith is. And so I thought that was interesting that you had that personal experience. It's very similar to the personal experience that my mother had, and the reason that I was raised the way I was, that all religions lead to the same God, and that you respect everybody's religion, because my mother was from that very staunch Catholic faith that if you weren't Catholic, if you weren't baptized, if you didn't go to church, if you didn't confess, you know, and follow the very straight Catholic line, then you could not go to heaven. So, and my mother being an Aquarian son, she rebelled against that. She knew that couldn't possibly be right. So it's very, it's a very interesting point to realize. So thank you for sharing that.
Yes, and thank you, Belle. And the DK somewhere, and I'm sorry, I don't have the question. Oh, Bibi has her hand up. I'll just yes, Bibi, what is your question?
I wonder, because when I was a child, I had this mission about, I wanted to become a psychologist, and I was quite sure about this. And this, I just lost this on the way after. And I had other qualities, which I also lost on the way. It's like, it seems like my soul maybe got through when I was a child, but then I had to work on a lot of things to come back to it again. I don't know if that's possible.
Oh, I think that it is. So from at this point in time where you stand today, you want to go back into psychology? Is this what you were saying?
Oh, yes, yes. I regret it. I didn't think about it when I had the chance, but I had forgotten about it. I had so many things. I'm Scorpio with the moon in Cancer, and I was very emotional. So I just forgot about the important things. I don't know.
I think that, yes, I can relate to you, Bibi. I have Scorpio rising and I have a Cancer sun. And what I found was that what happens is that very often one of our other rays, not our soul ray, it is our soul ray that eventually when we start connecting to this, and I'm going to be talking about this a little later, I may as well bring it up now. When we start connecting with our soul ray, then we start connecting with the vocation or the service that from a soul, heart-pointed point of view that we want to do to help others. And it's more than just we want to do this to help other people. It's as if this is something in our heart that if we don't do, there will be something lacking in our heart expression. Our vocation, a soul vocation, is so deeply entrenched. So I think that only when we start really connecting with our soul ray do we start to connect with that profession or vocation, which is really connected with our soul ray and our soul ashram and the type of work and service in the world that our ashram is doing. And so in the meantime, though, I think when we're growing up, and especially if you were an emotional person like you were and I was, you're dealing with your emotional ray, the sixth ray, probably most of us have a sixth ray. And I know I, for myself, these early years, right up until I was about, I don't know, into my 30s, I was still trying to deal with the emotional swings that were happening within me. And so I never had any concept that I would be teaching at all. I had no aspiration to be a teacher or to study esoteric work or astrology. I was sort of attracted to a little bit, but I was also attracted to palmistry and magic and all these sort of things. But that all was went into the background when I was trying to deal with my emotional life. And for 20-odd years, I was very much involved trying to bring balance so I didn't wreak havoc on my life, because some of the decisions I was making in terms of relationship and how I was conducting my behavior socially, I recognized intelligently was not good for me. And so I was making these decision based on my desire at the time. And I think that only when we've...
Yeah, it's been the same for me, actually.
Yeah, well, that's good. And so, and then I think only when we get ourselves into balance, then, and when the soul can start coming in again, where there is balance, that we might reconnect with that thought that we had, that we might want to be a psychologist such as you did. My thought was that I wanted to be involved in, my first desire was to be an artist. And so I got a ray for mine, a ray of the artist. And I was an artist for a while, but now there was a higher calling for me, and that was to study these teachings and help understand them, and then help other people understand them. And so teaching came to me later. And when I became an astrologer, I started doing astrology counseling, and now I've been being a teacher. And so this has only come about in the last 20, 30 years of my life. And so, and I think that's when I really connected with my soul ray. So does anyone have any comment to make about that?
Yeah. No, it sounds logic. It's good to hear. But I wanted to speak also about the subject that BL was talking about earlier.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
She was speaking about spiritual people who aren't living a spiritual life. I was thinking, can't that have something to do with the last month we were meditating on spiritual reading, right? And there is, and you explain there the difference between a knower and a spiritual man, a saint. Maybe a saint doesn't need to know about being a saint. I don't know. It's when you become a knower and have more theoretic understanding of the whole thing, that it becomes more complete, but you can come yes. halfway.
Yes, BL, would you like to comment on that?
Yes, certainly. You know, there's a lot of people who preach but then don't follow what they're preaching. But what you're talking about, you know, the saint, they just quietly go about their business, treating everyone with that love and that respect and that inclusiveness that everyone deserves. But they don't necessarily have to have the outer trappings of the religion, because it's something that's inherent in them. And I think that's what you mean, Bibi, isn't it?
Yes, yes, I think that's the difference. I mean, it seems logic. That's why we can have people in the world being spiritual without living a spiritual life, without having the knowledge of it.
Yes, and I think that's such an important point. When very often, and the Tibetan talks about these, you know, and people, like very often we see in religious organizations and churches, those ones that are fundamental and who, which are divisive, they're following the Old Testament type of teaching, which is not inclusive. And so, to the outer world, because they might call themselves that they are a Catholic or a Baptist or maybe some Eastern religions, that because I am this, I am a spiritual person, claiming to be a spiritual person and being a member of a church does not render you a spiritual person when we define what a spiritual person is esoterically. And so just very often in, for example, some fundamentalist churches, you're born again, you join the church, you're born again, and then you are one of God's chosen children because you have joined this particular church and you have been born again. And though there is a fundamental truth in that, esoterically, This is a beginning stage of religion, and I think we have all been through those stages. When we get to join some organization like Mora Federation, we could say that we have been through those stages, if not in this life, certainly in previous lives. And so at this level, the belief that one is spiritual is coming from the material world. It is a title that the lower mind claims for itself because we have done these correct things by joining this church, and therefore we get a tick and we are spiritual. But this is a material type of spirituality. And as we know, as we grow deeper into our inclusive spirituality, the true religion is being compassionate and expanding our hearts and minds, and so that we would deny no one that their source is the same as our source, connected in with that one underlying basic consciousness, that loving, compassionate consciousness. We are all children of that consciousness, if you want to call it God or Mahadeva or anything else. And so as BL said, the truly spiritual person does not claim this, does not need to claim this. The heart demonstrates to the world the thoughts and the words that come from that inclusive heart person demonstrate to the world that that person is spiritual. And it's only when you are likewise becoming inclusively, compassionately spiritual that you recognize those people. It is by their actions, by their inclusive, kindly actions, their love for all mankind, their willingness to forgive the so-called sins of people demonstrates their high spirituality, and that they are not recognized to be such people by people who have this very defined, separative type of spirituality. And it's very interesting. So thank you for bringing up that discussion, Bibi. Next slide. Thank you, Astrid. I've got to watch out for my voice. It's starting to give out on me, so I'm trying to drink to help myself.
Okay. Do you want to move on, or Yvonne has a comment? Would you like to
yes, no, please. I love the comments. Yvonne, what did you have to say?
I just wanted to add that I had like 21 years of Catholic education, and I was probably in my 30s before it occurred to me that God wasn't Catholic.
Well, thank you for sharing that. Well, for me it was that God was not a white man sitting up on a cloud somewhere. I used to have this vision when I was a child that God was a white man sitting up on a cloud watching me.
And there were Catholics and non-Catholics. That's where any classification we had. And you weren't allowed to question it. You had to accept everything on faith.
That's right.
I was like in my 30s before, you know, the light bulb went on. This doesn't make sense.
Oh, good. Well, thanks for sharing that, Yvonne. Okay, so first we discover who we are on the outer level. Our mind ray, how we think, our emotional ray, how we feel about things, what we desire, and our physical ray helps us organize our physical plane life. So energetically, as we deal with life and our disappointments and successes, gradually we become wiser and more discriminating. And when we become more discriminating, when we reach that level, and I might say that although many people who have been emotional in their consciousness will be reaching that level in this incarnation, I think that most people are still primarily have not reached this level and are still more emotional in their outlook on life, and therefore are more inclined to and will accept what other people tell them to do, just as Yvonne mentioned, and which was my experience when you're emotional and not thinking for yourself. Therefore, you're discriminating and skeptical self is not coming to the fore, you do accept what people tell you, those people that you love and that you put on a pedestal, because they are presented to you as being more wiser, more spiritual, more knowledgeable than you are. And so for all of us who are in that whole consciousness level of being emotional, that is normal and natural. We accept that, that is the truth. And it's only when those people that we think should be more spiritual, when they start to act in horrible ways and do awful things, that we realize that there is something wrong with the philosophy that we have been presented with, that we have been given. And so we start to question what is wrong with it. And I remember my great epiphany I had. There were two incidences that happened in my life that enabled me to think, well, there's something really, really, really wrong with this. And I was on in the New Age hippie movement at that time, and I went to this spiritual festival. And there was this man that was being presented as this great clairvoyant who was very spiritual. And he came and stayed at my place for a few days after the festival. And he said to me, Leonie, the way I deal with people I don't like, I put them in a box. And I said, well, what do you mean? And he showed me, he had drawn the big black box on a piece of paper, and he says, I write their names in it, and I imagine that they are in jail in this box, and this is the way that I control people who are not spiritual. And every part of me says, oh, there's something not right with this. And so, and I, that was one of my big awakening moments, and I thought, well, I had been presented with this man who is up here, and I really think he's down there below where I am in my journey. I joined the Theosophical Society by then, and I had some idea about, that wasn't the done thing. And the other one was at the same festival, I had this lady who was being presented as being very advanced, and she told me a story about how she used to work in this orphanage. And she says, my way of dealing with these children, they would come in and they all had these dreams about how their mother or father was some kind, wonderful person who had lost them somehow, and that they would come back and find them. And I would tell them that they were only in the orphanage because they were not loved, had been rejected, and they had been put there because their parents didn't want them. That was my way of dealing with them, and I cannot understand, this is how she followed on, I cannot understand why I lost my job and I was sacked when I was being truthful with these children. And she says a child had a breakdown as a result of what she said. And as a result of these two shared experiences with these two people, I really realized that, and I overcame the tendency to put people on pedestal, and I started discriminating, being more discriminating. And so my soul brought these two wonderful people to me, because they didn't have to share these insights with me, and in most cases probably would not have, but they did with me. And it really was, it was almost like a big bell rang within me and says, oh, I finally woke up and says, oh, don't accept what other people say, only use your own sense and your own mind to really analyze a person who was spiritual or not. And so at that stage I started looking at the definition of what was a spiritual person by my definition, and it was those words I've been using: inclusive, compassionate, kindly, loving, wise, forgiving. Those are the definitions that I used. And also The other one I recognized was, how can I put it, non-spiritual people so often were telling the world that they were spiritual and they were spiritual leaders and they were gurus, and I recognized that truly spiritual people did not do that. They were the quiet people who let their words and actions speak for them, and other people also would speak for them. So that was my great learning training experience, and I know that probably all of you have had the same experiences. Okay, next slide, thanks Astrid. Sarah Ray's work with our astrology, the mind ray, and so this is more for the astrologers, and I know Yvonne, I think that you are, but so you can do this work, of course, just by working with the rays, but if you're also an astrologer, as I am, then you link the mind ray and Mercury sign, and a Mercury sign colours how we think. If the emotional ray is linked with the moon sign, Mars sign, and Neptune sign, and of course the aspects, and why those three planets are linked with the emotional ray, well, Mars and Neptune are the planet rulers of the astral plane, and the moon is still greatly connected with the astral life. And so those three planets, by studying those in our chart, and their signs and their aspects, linking that with our emotional ray can really give you insight into how we express ourselves emotionally, how other people express emotionally. And the physical ray, if we link that with the moon, which is the ruler of form, Mars, which is a great ruler of the physical body, or our muscular blood, strong self, and the ascendant, or the first house, which rules the physical body, by linking those, we get an insight into our physical body. And I've given some examples. For example, a fifth ray concrete mind and science body, if Mercury is in a water sign, Cancer, Scorpio, Pisces, then you can really, instead of having that purely discriminating mind as one would think, that it can be clouded and shrouded by emotions, though of course it's easier to get to the analytical truth than it would be if your mind was on the more emotional ray 4 line. However, if you do have a ray 4 artistic mind and your Mercury is in an air sign, then it will be easier for you to cut through the emotions and get to the discriminating truth. Of course, if you have a ray 5 concrete mind and Mercury is also in an air sign, then that will, or even with an earth sign, then it will be easier for you to be discriminating. Likewise, it will be very much more difficult for you to be discriminating if you have a ray 4 emotional, more emotional type of mind and your Mercury is in a water sign, such as me, for example. I have a ray 4 artistic type of mind, and I have Mercury in Cancer, which is very much a emotional sign. And so for the first 20, maybe even 30 years, 28 years of my life, that was really involved in trying to separate out fact with emotion. And I really struggled with that, and it was really difficult. And so, but this is the way, and so if you are an astrologer and you can blend the ray with these planets, you get a more complete picture of a person's profile. Do you have anything to add to that, Bill?
No, it is fun to try and do it. You want to, do we have time to ask B Vivian?
Not at this stage, I think. Okay. I'm looking at the time because I've been trying to sort of, we don't have many slides, but I realize we're running out of time. I do have an example at the end. So what I might do is plow through since we're coming up to, you know, time, and then within half an hour we might finish slides and then we'll ask Bibi and Yvonne to contribute more so. But, okay, next slide. Thanks, Astrid. And so when we get to, our soul brings us to the path, our soul race starts to become more influential. And it means we're on the path of spiritual development and are now being influenced by the master of our Ray Ashram. Many of us are in the Ray 2 Ashram, are under the guidance of Master Joel Poole. Master Kutumi, I understand, was the head of the Ashram, but for many of us in Moira Federation who have been studying the Bailey teachings, which really came from Master Joel Poole, we are under his guidance. Certainly for myself, I feel that if I think to myself, who is my master? Well, I think that because I'm studying the teachers of this master, then I look to Master Joel Poole as my master. And so we are starting to become really influenced by the soul ray and its qualities. Just click it again, thanks Astrid, to bring up the second part. And so the soul ray determines our vocational orientation. And if our soul ray is 1 and 7 on the power line, then our vocation will be drawn to management, organisation and law. If we are on the thinking ray, 3 or 5, we will be drawn to maybe science, finance, business. And I'm thinking in there that probably Bill Gates might be a ray 3. I think that he's either ray 3 or 5 soul. And on the power line, we know we've been given Roosevelt Winston Churchill were probably Ray One Souls. Barack Obama is probably a Ray One Soul because he is in the political line. Probably with, I thought he could have a Ray 7 or Ray 2 personality, but definitely Ray 1 because his vocation and his great contribution to world good has been through politics, as limited as it been by Congress and that. And if, of course, you have a Ray 2, 4 or 6 soul, most of us, I think, probably has a 2 soul or 6 soul because Ray 4 is only coming back into incarnation again. We will be drawn to teaching, healing, hospitality, and that. So definitely I believe that I think at this time I have a Ray 2 soul, and so am drawn to being a teacher, drawn to psychology and to healing more as my vocation, and probably through my Ray 2 soul. So definitely we start connecting with our soul ray, we start really connecting more so with that. So just go to the next slide, and I've given an example, just expanded on that a bit more. So our soul colours our destiny via our ascendant sign, as I've said, just click it again. But when we add astrology, it adds another dimension. And I've given the example of a Leo ascendant, because as we know, our soul ray work through our ascendant sign. So if you have a Leo ascendant, which carries the ray 1 or 5, if your soul ray is on the power line and you have a Leo ascendant, then you will be a natural leader. And we see on the left, I've given the example under the lion head, if you look there, that you have ray 1-7 soul with a Leo ascendant, you're a natural and dignified leader. I do know that I think, is it Barack Obama has, no, he has a sun sign in Leo. I think he has Aquarius rising. I'm sorry, I'm just not remembering quite. If we move towards the middle group, if you have a Ray 2-4-6 soul, even though you will be drawn to teaching and healing, if your rising sign is in Leo, then you have some more ambition and you will strive to be a leader. So you might be the headmaster, or you might strive to be a manager of a school or get into an administrative role rather than purely being the teacher. If you have a Ray 3 or 5 soul and you have Leo rising, then you might be drawn to science, finance or business, but you might want to be the organizer of your experimental group or the study research that you are doing, want to be the leader or the organizer of it. And so in this way, we can get a more complete picture of the role we might be playing within our soul vocation as defined by our soul ray, by our astrology. It just defines it a little bit more. Any comment about that? Okay, next slide, thanks, Astrid. So when we're doing a personal analysis, we're coming into readings now and blending, this is just a summary, blending rays and astrology to identify those qualities to develop soul service and vocation, things to aspire towards. We study our soul ray and the ascendant sign, or if we're working with someone else, we study their soul ray and their ascendant sign. And that will give us a really good picture. So if we're giving them some advice about which way they might choose to go, because when people come to consult us and say, I need direction, well, then they're looking for advice. And so if we can really identify this soul ray, and it's not always so easy to identify the soul ray because it doesn't come with an astrology chart. However, if we do have a correct birth time and birth date, as we have a correct ascendant sign, that does give us something to work towards. However, I've always asked people if I want to try and get an Aztec or work with their soul ray, I ask them, if you had, we could truly do something to help the world, something from your heart that satisfied your heart, that was fulfilling to you in your heart, what would you do? And whatever their answer is, I would try and slot that into one of the rays, and I would treat that as if it was a soul ray. It might not be. They might be coming more from their solar plexus. However, at that point in time, for that person, that is the highest that they're aspiring towards. And so I would still treat that as their soul ray and guide them in that direction. And if at some later stage, after they have really worked through that, it proves not to be so fulfilling for them, then it just has helped them to be clearer about what their soul vocation may be. So I really, but working with a soul ray and ascendance, I would do that. And it's a part and parcel of that. How do I become more spiritual is often a question that is asked of us. What do I need to do to work through my stuff is another question. Well, in that case, we identify their personality ray, mental, emotional, and physical rays, and we work with their sun and moon signs. And by working with those factors, we can really give some pertinent advice about what they need to balance and within themselves, how to bring their negatives into balance, how to identify their negatives. Sometimes people are not clear about what their important negatives. There are so many negatives, and I can put myself in this point. I would never really have identified the number one negative that I needed to work through, which was identified by my moon sign. When I was thought about my negatives, I seemed to be so aggressive. Well, I have a Ray 1 personality ray, and I would think of my aggression as being my number one negative. However, when I examined my moon sign, and this is for the astrologers, I have a Libra moon in the 12th house. And this is all about sitting on the fence, hiding away, protecting myself by not engaging with the world. I never really picked that was a real a huge negative with me until I studied my astrology chart esoterically. When I did study myself from that angle, I could clearly see it, but I was not clear about that as being the greatest negative, which was still clearly present within me, I might add, by the way, this is in my 30s I'm doing this analysis, and even perhaps going into my 40s, but mainly in my 30s, middle 30s, that I really realized that it was an issue. I had started to deal with it unconsciously, but when I saw it analytically in my chart, I really started working upon that negative in earnest and could recognize it within myself. A lot of people with the same as me have all these negatives but are not clear about the number one prison of the soul pattern as identified by the moon sign, which they need to work with. And this is a great gift that we can give them. If you're not an astrologer, you have done the work on the labors of Hercules, working with the moon sign in that particular labor, which gives you the same overview of the type of pattern which needs to be worked through. In the labors of Hercules, of course, for Libra, it's all about overindulgence. You've got the drinking. Well, Libra and Moon people really love a social life and love their wine and things, and I was no different. And so that was another thing I saw clearly, how I needed to put that behind me, because it could lead to all bad decision making, as it did with Hercules when he got drunk and started killing off and going to war with the Centaurs and killed them off. And it was a failure. It was a failure in that sign, as he had in Aries. And so even if you're not an astrologer, you can get a great picture of the what needs to be done in each of these signs by studying the labors of Hercules, and which I did. So I'm hoping that some of my personal sharing, and I certainly know that others can relate with my journey as well. So that is a little bit, just those two slides gives just a summary of what to work with if you're doing a personality profile on yourself or for other people. Just the next slide, thank you, Astrid. And this goes more into the psychology and the physical illness side of things, because life is stressful and result in illness. During incarnation, as we are learning and growing, and because we are not yet perfect souls, we have psychological and physical health problems. Such issues are a natural and normal part of being a soul in incarnation. I know when I first stepped onto the path, there was a teaching I came in contact with, and I can't remember which group it was from. It may have been from Christian Scientists, I think, that if you had an illness, you were not spiritual. There was a part of yourself that needed to be purified, needed to be healed. And even though there's a seed of truth or that in that, there is also a great fallacy in it as well, because the mediums through which we as souls are working, our bodies, mind, emotions, physical, they become stressed, worn out, break down, just like cars break down through use and age. Just click it again, Astrid, please. Excuse me. The fundamental cause, and this is such an important statement, the fundamental cause is that the substance of our bodies has not yet been brought into energy synchronicity with our souls and with the universal flow of life. So we're working with these, what are imperfect bodies in a sense, but they are the best level to which we have brought our bodies, to this age of our soul, to wherever we are on the path. This is the best we have on offer, and so it's so important not to be guilty if we have a psychological problem or we have a physical some physical ill health, because the fundamental cause of all disease is that the substance we're working through is not yet perfect in substance as the universal consciousness is. As the soul strikes a point of friction within our mental emotional bodies, and this is what helps us bring about purifying the lack of purity in within our bodies, is because we do get ill. And so the striking of friction creates a potential seed of physical illness. As we ease that tension psychologically, that seed devolves and it dissolves. And so we're born with our astrology chart, for example. We have all these tensions within ourselves. If you want to predict the type of diseases, illnesses we might get from our life, you can. You sort of relate those negative patterns to illnesses, and you could say, well, A equals B, accepting it's not as simple as that. Because if we're on the spiritual path, and which is a path of bringing our consciousness into balance with the serenity of soul and of the universe, we can dissolve those potential seeds of trouble. As we dissolve our tensions, so we can dissolve the seeds of psychological illness and also of physical illness. However, at the end of an incarnation, we can succumb to any illness. This assists the soul to drop off the body in preparation for a new incarnation. The bodies, after all, that we become so attached to, physical body, for a long time as teenagers, if you're like me, you're so invested in how it looks and dieting and everything and how we present ourselves. They are just mediums through which the soul is working. But at the end of the life, the best that we could hope for is that we have brought those bodies into greater synchronicity to soul energy, to the energy and flow of universal love. And this helps us prepare us for the new incarnation. We have more balanced bodies to work through, and greater health expectations, unless of course there is some important karmic disease we need to work through. And so there's some important statements in there, especially if a person is inclined to think that ill health is somehow connected with is a negative connected with something that's unspiritual? Not at all. However, we can delay our ability to have better health if we don't do the inner work in good time. If, of course, you're a young soul on the path, you don't have the wisdom and the gift that we have had of the studies and understanding and reading this great material, then you are just working at a good pace, which is right for you. But if you do have this had the privilege of studying the wisdom teachings, but you don't do the inner work, then you may potentially be delaying your possibility of having improved health. But that's just a general statement, not a hard and fast statement. Next slide, thanks, Astrid. Oh, was there any comment about that? There were some important statements on that. They've been presented before, but I thought that perhaps somebody might want to comment. Okay. All right, so remembering this was a slide from previous one, remember that organic problems aside, also we could say accidents or being group things, I think I've got that mentioned later, that problems are caused by the imperfect flow of energy. Yvonne, you have a comment or question? Is Yvonne muted?
You're on self-mute.
Yvonne.
Yeah. There you go.
Okay.
There you go.
I've had breast cancer around 6 years ago. Now, when I was in my 20s, this guy jolted me, and I had this broken heart, and it never healed. And I had read someplace, maybe a few years ago in one esoteric healing, that this, when you have a heart wound that doesn't heal, you can develop breast cancer. And I thought, aha! You know, and I just saw the connection there because I didn't work on healing that, and it's been like 50 years, a lot of years, okay? And I have since, but I think there is a connection, and, you know, since then, since I've been in Moria, you know, I do the cleansing of all the personality vehicles, the smudging and the oming and cleansing them, and I'm 6 years cancer-free, so I'm good, but I think there's a lot to this. It could be karmic too. I don't know, but I'm healthy now. I hope.
And I think congratulations, Eva. And I thank you. I've got an example of Lawson Bracewell later as an example of how to look at these patterns in the chart. But I've had a close friend who, if it was quite. Even though he's a very nice friend, he could be very cold and, in fact, I'm trying not to be judgmental, but he had this condition where the muscle around his heart had got very hard, the membrane around his heart. And I remember thinking at that time, you know, it really matches his personality, that he, though he was a good friend with me, he could be very hard-hearted with other people. And so from that angle, it was. There's another example I can think of as a young man who had AIDS, picked up AIDS as a result. He was in Vietnam and got AIDS through picking it up from a prostitute. But his personality was so invasive and aggressive, as that, and I could thought, wow, you know, I never said anything to him, but I just remember making the connection. I can really see the nature of age, which is so aggressive and invasive, so in tune with the type of psychology that he had. And we can make these, and of course, these connections are not old. If you read Louise Hay's book, as it was popular in the 60s and 70s, she made those connections right back then. And so it's gradually becoming people. And of course, the most important thing is that the connection is being made between our psychology and what happens in our physical body and the medical field, the orthodox medical field, is so slowly making these connections. It seems to be so slow. When you make, I've been studying for my medical astrology book to see, well, what have scientists identified as the cause of this disease? So often they put down, there's no known cause for this disease yet, and yet esotericists have been given the cause as a disruptive emotional body or whatever for ages, but just gradually they're starting to make the connection. Yes, Bibi, you have a comment or question. Just unmute yourself, Bibi. There you go.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, can hear you, baby.
I have a bad connection, I think.
Oh, I can hear you clearly.
I just wanted to mention there is a very good. I just wanted to mention there is a man. He's from Austria, and his name is Dr. Hammer. He has found out the five biological laws. And actually, he can prove that every illness is caused by some kind of trauma. But it is not only emotional, it is also instinctual. So, and he has confessed that he has received this information from his son during his dreams. I think he was guided. Anyway, it is very interesting to study these. He has thousands of testimonials, but of course, pharmaceutical industries don't like this kind of cure, so they put him in prison and they made life impossible for him, so he can't practice his medical work anymore. But there are lots of people following his philosophy. And actually, as Yvonne said earlier, he says that when you get over your problem, then the illness comes out.
Oh, yes, well, thank you for that, Bibi, which is absolutely in line with what the Tibetan says. He does say, it's very interesting, that he does say that whenever a disease arises, there's a point, there's an energy point, and we're on that particular slide now. And to be able to effective healing, to bring about an effective healing, that you have to get, these are my words now, but you have to get to that energy point and start to work on it, dissolve it, if a healing is to come about, that eventually, he suggests by the suggestion is that if you don't get to that core or that seed of disease early enough, it just could be too late. And I'm not saying that that a master healer like Jesus may not come along, or a group of healers may not bring about a healing. For if a soul is really wants a disease to be healed, then miracles can happen, so-called miracles. I really believe in miracles. However, just going back to ordinarily, if intervention doesn't happen in good time, and I'm thinking, I thought when I was reading this, for cancer, for example, if you can get to the seed of cancer before it has spread outside, and that, what do they call it, metastases or something, before it spreads out of that, then it could be too late. Once it's spread throughout the system, it could be too late. So generally, so the Tibetan does remark upon that. It's very, very interesting. But thank you for your contributions. Next slide. Thanks, Astrid. We're going through all this in really good time, I'm pleased. And so what I've got up here is I've just put once again just the slide I used and the chart that I used, which is given out in the course, which I've made up from the Tibetan's teachings, Psychology 1 and 2, mainly Psychology 2, which is just the breakdown of psychological disorders. So here is the breakdown. And all physical illness, unless due to a group karmic origin or a true accident, starts within our own centers. He, the Tibetan, mentions our centers. So within our own psychology, our own instinctual patterning. So I picked up on what you said, Bibi, that yes, instinctual patterning, the chakras, solar plexus, sacral, and base, they're really run by the instinctual part, by our moon sign, if you want, you know, like that. So much of our illness comes through from a previous life as an instinctual pattern, psychological pattern, which eventually, if we don't work with that and bring about some dissolving of that pattern and a healing of it, may result in a physical disease. The other causes are main causes of disease, group karmic origin. So if you're born like in a family group, your family, and this is why illnesses run in families, there's group karma. And so they do say very often as a cause of disease, if there are other people in your family who have a certain type of disease, genetically you are predisposed to getting that same disease for yourself. Now that statement is quite common now within the scientific medical fraternity. Very interesting. So we could say, as esotericists, that it's group family karma. They're saying something else, you see. Or a national karma. Tibetan talks about if you come from a rice-eating background or this type of diet, you are predisposed to different type of illnesses. So there is a group karma, and also there are some true accidents that can happen to and bring about a disease, more likely an accident, of course. And I've just put that there because it's an important chart. Next slide. Thanks, Astrid.
Leonie?
Yes?
We had a question there about you referred to energy point. And the question was, were you referring to energy blockage? But, you know, my understanding is it could be all the above. You know, it's a focus of energy or the clashing of energy or an actual blockage that's occurring.
Yes, and exactly right. You can narrow it down more so to be an energy block, say, or an energy point, say, within the astral body and within the solar plexus chakra, because this is where it starts from. If we have a problem emotionally, say we've got a lot of anger, that's going to create an energy point of disease within the solar plexus chakra, because the emotional body expresses itself through the solar plexus. So there is a point of disease that starts. They start within our centers. That centers, because the energy that pours into our physical body come from our chakras like that. The point of disease in the etheric body in the chakra, that translates into the organs that are ruled by that particular chakra. So really, if you wanted to put me on the spot and say, well, is there one point of a disease, energy disease, I would say yes, that can be created in the etheric chakra. Okay, do you think that answers it, Bill?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, all right, so points to ponder when doing a health analysis, rays in astrology. A preponderance of rays within our makeup, especially if they are out of balance, can influence the type of diseases we catch. For example, too much ray 2 is the building ray which holds everything together. The ray of gravity, gravity is a ray 2 phenomenon, gives a tendency to excess, so we hold on to things. When this is present in our psychology, excess ray 2 and expressed, for instance, in overeating, so we draw in too much food into our body, this can lead to obesity, for example, overgrowth of parts or organs or even tumours. So we can see how too much of a ray or ray that has become rogue in a sense, that's causing trouble, it can lead directly to a physical disease. Another example I've given, ray 1, which is a powerful ray that is fast moving, strikes suddenly, can have devastating consequences. Well, we think of a stroke is really a ray 1 phenomena, or even AIDS, the way AIDS works. So you can actually, if you put the 7 rays as headings, you can slot most illnesses under one of these 7 ray headings. And if we think that energy is all there is, and that it is the misalignment, the clashing of energies that creates trouble, then you can see how we can relate disease to the rays. So, of course, there would need to be more than one ray to create that clashing or an excess of a ray. Just click it again. Thanks, Astrid. So that's just something to ponder. That's a great science as it is, and my book that I'm writing is based on around that, of course. The second point, just purely in astrology now, the most intense stress pattern in a chart, which is often a T-square, not necessarily, but often conjunctions, I've found conjunctions with a T-square, especially if that stress pattern links to the sixth house of health or the 12th house of hospitals, could indicate the most dangerous health complication that could face a person. Just click it again. And I've used my great friend Lawson, who was a mentor in Moira Federation, and who I did teaching with in New Zealand, I've used his chart as an example. I've written a paper on it on my website, brisbanegoodwill.com, if you wanted to go to the complete paper. But I've just given an overview, just to give an example in astrology of how these patterns can work. And so I've given his birth detail on the left. Lawson had a Ray 2 soul and a Ray 1 personality. And Ray 1 personalities is really tied up with, well, Ray personality is really tied up with the sun sign. But in his most stressful pattern is a T-square, and I've outlined it in with the triangle, the black triangle that you can see. So he had a conjunction, a Pluto-Jupiter conjunction in Leo, square Mars, wider square to the ascendant, which is off sign, and that was really the most intense pattern. So on its own, we could say that, and when planets are on angles and we have Jupiter and Pluto struggling the midheaven angle and squaring the ascendant, which is the first house angle, it brings that pattern into prominence, all those planets into prominence. And so we have a Jupiter-Pluto conjunction in Leo, which really is indicative of really the most powerful pattern. Just click again. I've gone into, if you could remember that, we click backwards and forwards, but we have here the sun, the vitality and heart. The sun was in Cancer with a wide conjunction to Jupiter and Pluto in Leo. The two body parts highlighted in the stress pattern are stomach, Cancer, and heart, Sun and Leo. So I know that Lawson had all the anxieties of a sun sign person in Cancer, sun and Cancer person. I'm also sun and Cancer, and we used to commiserate over the ways that we express that energy and the sensitivity, the astral sensitivity that we really were trying to bring into balance in that. But in Lawson, because the sun, which is also rules the heart on its own, it doesn't matter which sign it's placed in, it was conjunct Jupiter and the Pluto and Leo. It highlighted the heart or the circulation, blood circulation, as being a potential problem, disease points. Click again. Thanks, Astrid. And further to that, inflammatory Mars is involved. And Mars is a real troublemaker in disease. Mars and Saturn are probably the biggest troublemakers. Mars inflames everything, and Saturn atrophies and makes everything hard and ages everything. And when these two planets are together, not that I'm saying that they are in Lawson's chart, they can really cause some trouble with health. And so with the ascendant opposite Mars, here is the troublemaker. Mars brings conflict and disruptions, rules the sixth house of illness in Lawson's chart. It is in stubborn Taurus, well, in the seventh house of others. Now let's just flick back. Well, in the previous chart, don't bother going back, but Aries, well, yes, there it is. You can see that Aries is the ruler of the sixth house. It's on the cusp also of the sixth house or on the seventh house. So Aries, the exoteric ruler of Aries, is the ruler of the health house in Lawson's chart. Just click twice again. Thanks, Astrid. Thanks for going back. So there we see that it was involved in Lawson's health and pointed to potential trouble, that the psychological pattern underlying that is if he could not bring that tension pattern, that tendency to, for anger, I'm looking at the T-square now, to exploding Pluto, Jupiter, having a quick reaction, the ascendant to other people's astral expression. This tension pattern could build up and be a point of disease. Now, Lawson was on the path, so he was working with this all his life. He was working to try to overcome this quick reaction of anger to what he didn't like, what he saw in others that he didn't like. And so even though he was working on this and harmonizing it, it still took a toll on him, so that by the time he got into his late 60s, a physical point of disease had obviously manifested. And we know this because of the nature of his illness. Click again, thank you. And so the physical body in all living forms eventually breaks down, releasing the body, as I've said. And this Mars square Jupiter, the arteries in Leo, the heart, really brought about its toll. All the signs point to heart disease in later life for Lawson. I would point out, this is quite normal for disciples, as Master DK points out. Heart disease, disciples and initiates are prone to suffer from this disease owing to the awakening into violent activity of the heart center. So we all are, until we are perfect in consciousness, which probably is around the fourth initiation, all the rest of us on earth, unless we're at that exalted status, is prone to some disease or another, because we're still perfecting our bodies of expression that the soul expresses through. So I'm hoping that I have made a good connection with this between our rays, our astrology, and what happens to us in our psychology and also in our physical disease. Click again, thanks Astrid. So I will summarize this, and then after the summary we will go back into a general discussion on any part of what we have covered. But in summary, a study of our rays in astrology gives insight into our journey through this incarnation and what we need to do to move closer to self-realization. The fully conscious realization that we are energetically, spiritually, whole and intact expression of God's will, love and intelligence. And so when we reach that exalted stage in our consciousness and we have no doubts anymore, but we are fully self-knowing, all-knowing, that we are perfect expressions of God's love and will and intelligence, only then I think that if we choose to come in back into incarnation through that we would be more likely to have a situation of no disease or minimal disease at the very least. So that concludes our study, and all the 2-year study that we have been doing really brings us to the point, if you want to work with the knowledge that you have acquired, that you can do this sort of analysis and work. And of course, if you're going into the health side with astrology, there is more study to be done, but in a general way you can start to work with the psychological and physical type of illness that are related to our psychology based on the work that you have done in these 2 years with Great Quest. Okay, so that brings me to the end of our thoughts. So are there any questions or comments based on that, or does anyone have anything to share? I think it was an earlier slide. BL, you asked the question, is there time to share? There is time to share now.
Okay.
But generally, yeah. Are there any comments?
That was on
Okay.
slide six, if
Yes.
we have the time and if Bibi and Yvonne want to do that.
Yes, I could ask them also, girls, so how, in retrospect and looking back in hindsight, how have you found the study in placing yourself where you are now? And I know, Yvonne, you've gone beyond that great quest, but based on where you started, and if you were, you're talking to someone who was asking, well, what is the value of taking this study? From your own personal experience, what might you say to that person, or what could you say about what you gained or perhaps didn't gain at all in the 2-year study? Yvonne, would you like to go first? Oh, Bibi, your hand is up. Please share. You're on self-mute.
Yes. I was thinking about that today, actually, about the knowledge of the soul. I mean, before entering in the school, I knew about the soul and everything, but I hadn't learned how to connect to the soul. I didn't recognize the voice of my soul, as to speak, so to speak. So the difference from now and when I started is this. It's recognizing sometimes I can recognize the voice of my soul. I can identify more with my soul, and that is a very great achievement for me. And on the other hand, there is a lot of information, a lot of things to learn, and this is a little bit stressful for me, but that's another thing. That's, I don't know how to, that's more on a mental plane, the curiosity about going forward. But the soul recognition and, knowing or wanting the soul to be my master, that is thanks to this school.
Yes, thank you for sharing that, Bibi. And that is just so important, that we learn to depend and rely upon ourself, our soul self. Buddha, of course, said that in his at the very end of his life, rely upon yourself. Now, I've always interpreted that he was talking about our spiritual self, which Atma, which most Buddhists or many Buddhists discredit, but however, I believe he was referring, rely ultimately not on anybody else, but rely on the wisdom and the knowledge and the love and light that comes through from that source of goodness, spirit within our minds and hearts. So thank you very much for sharing that. Yvonne, do you have anything that you would like to say or add?
The 2 years that I spent in Great Quest, we did so much astrology and rayology. I learned so much. I loved it. I still consider myself a beginner, as BL is my mentor, she would tell you. She's been my biggest teacher, and I love it, and that's why I come to these astrology webinars that you have, to, you know, because I forget so much, but it's learning to know myself, know thyself, that's the key of it, and, you know, finding your ascendant, your rising sign, and the rulers, and your past, your moon, and your sun sign, and trying to understand all that. I'm only a beginner, and I'm still learning. And I recommend your book highly. It's so easy to understand. Like I'm saying, I've read quite a bit of it, and I think it's wonderful. You're a great teacher. But I think it's to know thyself, and it's a journey. And I'm still, you know, and Vulcan is the ruler of my chart. I'm a Virgo rising, and I have Taurus moon, and I'm a Libra sun sign, so I have the addictions, the alcoholism, all kinds of stuff, and healing. I've been in the healing and nursing profession. So my whole ascendant is about purification. So I find it fascinating. I love it, really. And we don't do as much in Quest Universal as we did in Great Quest. And so I'm glad when I get a chance to do some of this.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing, Yvonne, and I've really enjoyed your participation and Bibi's in these seminars, because I value very much the interaction with students. So for me, it makes it really rich and helps me get to the bring up those points that are important to students at the time. So very value that very much. Beal, do you have anything that you would like? I think that perhaps my really starting to run out of energy now, so we might finish, but do you have anything that you would like to add? And Astrid, perhaps if you could make a comment about this webinar or the journey as a whole.
Like you, I think we need to understand all of our energies, and the way that we do that is through this material that we're studying. Yvonne is interested in healing, but you can't really do the healing without fully understanding the astrological piece that goes along with the work that you do in the healing. So whether it's understanding yourself or whether it's understanding your calling, this is all so important. And it does take a long time to work with it, to understand it. But it is, to me, it's been, I've been drawn to astrology my whole life, and I have studied it, I've played games with it and stuff, and I never really understood how important it was. It was like I was still looking, still searching for something, until someone slapped the book, the Alice Bailey book, Esoteric Astrology, in my hand and said, "You're an astrologer, explain this to me." And that was when the light bulb, that was my wake-up moment of this is my soul work. So I can't say enough good things about it.
So thank you for sharing that. And what I picked up also on what you said, Yvonne, is I consider myself to be a beginner and a student in this. When I read what the Tibetan wrote, and I just get a glimpse of the magnitude of the consciousness of Master, I really, feel myself, and I think that possibly that sense that we are still students and need to perhaps study more, learn more, do a little bit more. I think it's very healthy if it's in balance, and it's also very healthy for our psychology. So in my words, I would say to myself, so I don't become big-headed about it all, still consider myself a student, as I know BL and everybody else, and Michael still considers himself a student and has said that as such. So we all identify with you in that as well. Astrid, was there anything that you wanted to say before we wrap this up?
The only thing I can say, Leona, is thank you for this. I have found today extremely interesting, and I will definitely go back and listen to the recording. So thank you for putting all of this together.
Okay, so thank you for that. So this was BL, and I have worked on these webinars, of course, and BL has some very interesting ones. BL, would you like to talk a little bit, just briefly perhaps, about what you're planning to do with the presentations of the Dark Half of the Year papers?
Yes, we're pretty much finished with the teaching part of these webinars, and what the students are getting ready to do is begin their profiles of famous people and then their Dark Half of the Year paper. So what I would like to do, and it's strictly on a voluntary basis, is I will go out to all the students, not just to the few of you who've been attending these webinars regularly, but and ask them if they would like to present their DHY paper in one of the webinars. This is very similar to what we did, what Eva Smith and I did when we did the chart delineation webinars, but it was very helpful for the students to work with that. And that's pretty much what they did there too, was they followed the teachings of our webinars and they presented their DHY paper that they had already completed. So that's what I'm going to ask. I'll go out to the Grit Quest students individually. I may contact you as well, Yvonne. I know you're beyond Grit Quest too, but I know that you were one of the presenters for our webinar. So the webinar that we had. So that's what I have planned.
All right. Thanks for that, Bill. Thanks, Astrid. Thanks, schools, for attending. And we'll bring this to a conclusion now. Nice being with you. Bye.
Thank you, everybody. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Thank you so very much.